Right, we have got a full packed hour, boom, boom, boom. All of our experts, and we've got the most amazing speaker who's very successful and actually a really nice guy as well. How good's that? So tonight is about as well, if you've got any challenges with them properly, that's why I wear the boxing gloves. Let's beat the out of all the challenges you've got tonight, or all the challenges you've had with property, don't be shy. We've got the experts. We've got Wayne on finance. We've got legal solicitor. How cool is that, having a free finance expert and a solicitor on a Zoom for a full hour? So get your little questions in the chat. And we've got the most amazing speaker all about development in London, buying buy-lets back in the day, the capital growth, much, much different from the Northeast, and adding value through commercial leases on commercial mixed-use buildings, which is we're going to learn loads of stuff. But I would love it if anybody had any deals that they want to share with us and we can pick through it, just give us a shout. Plenty of questions. Let's make this hour really, really valuable and just get your questions out there. If you feel the question is a little bit that you don't want anybody to know who you are, just give it to me personally and I'll say the question without the name of the person on it. So this is Debbie Does Property and this is her amazing power team on here tonight to help you on your property journey. So let's get going. So we've got Wayne Gray Finance. He's going to do a very, very quick update. Now, what I'm liking about Wayne, he's actually in the Seychelles on holiday, but between you and me, it's pissing down the rain, bless him, and he hasn't got a tan. But never mind, he's going to come on here and he's going to give us a little property update on finance because that's the most important thing, how to buy property, exit. We all need to know about that. Then we've got Lee is going to add a little bit on, or maybe he's asked a few questions on legal stuff, what happened with these deals, stuff like that. And we've got Amir in the middle who's going to give us all his knowledge. I think that's it. So let's get cracking. Wayne, do you want to take it away with your very, very quick update on property stuff?
I absolutely will. And Debs, I don't think you've given me credit there. I'm only 2 days in. I'll be positively bronzed by the time I come back in a couple of
Course
weeks.
you will, darling. It's so hot in the
Oh,
Northeast.
I'm
It's so
sure
hot in the
I
UK, it is
will. I'll be
boiling.
coming back more pasty than I was when I went, I'm sure. Hey guys, for those of you that don't know me, my name is Wayne Gray. I'm the managing director of DMI Finance. As normal, guys, I'll provide a bit of a market update, giving you some pertinent points of interest that have happened in the last couple of weeks since we last met a month ago, and then give you a headline or an overview of the headline rates, guys. So first up, well, look, since we last met, or when we last met, I mentioned there were some rate reductions from a number of the big five lenders, your HSBC, your TSB, your Santander, and the likes, had reduced their rates. And we thought that perhaps that would cross over to the buy-to-let realm. That's generally the way it will work. It will start in the residential sector and cross over to the buy-to-let sector. Now, that was on March the 16th. As it happened, March the 17th came. And that was when the ONS data, the Office of National Statistics, released the latest set of inflation data. And whilst the rate of inflation dropped, so inflation wasn't increasing as high as it had the month prior, it dropped back from 3.4 to 3.2 for the 12 months to March, guys. It didn't drop quite by how much the markets had expected. So those rate reductions that we saw from the big five very quickly actually were withdrawn, and the rates were increased, perhaps higher than they were earlier to that. Now, in truth, that has meant since we last spoke, there's been some not insignificant rate rises, and you'll see that from the next screen. They're not incredibly high rate rises, guys, but they're not, minute. Now, that said, some lenders are still continuing to increase their rates. Even today, we've seen Virgin Money increase their rates by 0.1%. We've seen HSBC increase their rates today. However, other lenders in the exact same space have reduced their rates. So I think as I kind of watch this space, there's no one size fits all. As I put here, it's a mixed bag for product offerings. Some lenders have increased their rates. Barclays today reduced their rates by up to 0.39. So that's a whacking great saving. And Barclays, very much in the residential space, very much one of those top tier lenders. Not only Barclays, though, guys, some of the lenders that you guys might be more familiar with or might be used to working with, your CHLs have reduced their rates today. We've seen Fleet reduce their rates today. We've seen Keystone reduce their rates today. And Keystone are one of those lenders that are really very hot on increasing their rates at the drop of a hat. So to see them drop their rates where others in the market haven't, I think gives a little bit of reassurance, if you like, guys. Now, if we look at swap rates, the underlying rates at which banks swap variable rate pricing for fixed rate pricing, Friday swap rates, guys, which is the latest data I hold, was by and large priced similarly to where swap rates were a couple of weeks ago before we had the ONS data release. So they have come down slightly since that increase. Hopefully, that will mean that rates will sit more stable and we might see some further reductions as we have with as I say, Barclays, Fleet, CHL, and Keystone. The only real criteria change that we've seen, guys, is with Shawbrook Bank. They this week have entered the multi-unit freehold block space. So that's a, to all intents and purposes, three, four, two, three, four flats in one block on one freehold. They're happy to lend on that sort of proposition now to first-time landlords. So really strong move from a really good lender. Key dates for your diary, guys. I guess we were anticipating that earlier in the year that, well, the markets were anticipating perhaps three rate reductions, Bank of England base rate reductions. That's now probably off the cards. Markets now predicting that we'll see one, maybe two rate reductions, with the first of those being in August time. We were expecting it to be June. I guess, guys, we'll know more tomorrow. Tomorrow, as I put at the bottom here, key dates for your diary is the Bank of England Monetary Policy Committee's meeting. So midday tomorrow for you guys, we'll find out exactly whether they've chosen to hold base to increase it or decrease it. The reality is, I think the money's on, or my money's certainly on it being held. There are nine MPC members. So tomorrow, if we look at the minutes, we can see how they voted and perhaps see the lay of the land for how that might plan out for later rate reductions later in the year. And then the next time the ONS release the inflation data then, guys, is the 22nd of May. So Wednesday the 22nd, 7 a.m., we'll know whether inflation's dropped back from that 3.2% closer to the government target of 2%. Guys, very quickly then, headline rates, as I said on the page prior, it will come as no surprise. Rates have gone up since we last met, by and large. The only rate that's gone down is the two-year tracker being base rate plus 0.19%. Guys, these are headline rates, not necessarily the most attractive rates in the market. It stands to reason that, lenders will offer very appealing interest rates and perhaps offset that with a less appealing arrangement fee. But that's where the headline rates sit, guys. They are a little less competitive than where they were a month ago, but still, not too disappointing. 5-year fixed in personal names starting at 4.24%. I would argue that's quite competitive still. It's very competitive still. Guys, that's it from me, but I will be staying around with a gin and tonic in hand, probably, but I'll be here and I'll be more than happy to answer any questions anyone might have. Cheers, guys.
Wink, thank you for that. And thank you for doing that when you're obviously on your holidays. So, how's lending at the minute? Is it busy? Because I know in the North East, there's plenty of people buying buy to let commercial resi stuff. There's plenty of people buying stock. And I know Lee's very busy as well. So is there a lot of applications? Is everybody just going for it?
Yeah, I mean, it's super busy, Debs. Look, I think the time to, a lot of people perhaps, a year and a half ago, maybe latter part of well, when was Trustgate? I forget when it was now, a couple of year and a half ago. You know, people sat on their hands and just thought, okay, I'll wait and see where the land lies, where the dust settles. The reality is that you can still make good money, that, you know, there are exceptionally strong yields to be made. Rents increases have, you know, compensated for a lot of the interest rate increases. And yes, you know, products are higher than where we'd like them to be, but does it still work? Can you still make good money on it? Absolutely. So yeah, our door's wide open, and it's constantly being kicked open because it's super busy. Yeah,
Yeah.
super busy.
And I'm sure Wayne will be investing in the Northeast at some point.
Northeast is it's on the cards, Debs. It's on the cards. Absolutely. And there's only one
Excellent.
source I'd approach, obviously.
Yeah. So Wayne's coming to take the answer. We can put that in the little chat box. Wayne is our broker. We work very close with Wayne and his team. They're absolutely excellent. Mwah. And if they can deal with my challenges, they can deal with anybody's challenges. So he's been pushed to the limit, as our Wayne. Thanks, Wayne. That's brilliant. Right, exciting stuff. We've got Amir who is going to chat to us. So Amir is a successful property investor, mentor. He's mentored international and UK. He lives in London. And yeah, we're going to be seeing a lot more of Amir, I think. So yes, let's bring it on.
Well, first of all, good evening, everyone, and thanks to Debbie and team for inviting me over. Really humbling experience. Doesn't matter how far you go in the property, there's always learnings to be had. So, my journey started in a similar kind of room some years ago. First of all, I started doing properties as a hobby long before when I was actually in a corporate job. And at one point I was thinking that I'll be retiring from one of those jobs, maybe another couple of promotions, and that'll be it. But then life took a turn where my company wanted to merge two regions, and person from a different region got the upper job, and he said, "I know you're very good, but either you'll have to move to Manchester or you'll have to leave." So I negotiated a very good severance package, and I got the same job with a competitor straight away. But I had to go on gardening leave because I couldn't work for a competitor straight away. And during those 3 months, I bought a one-bedroom flat. I changed into two. And within 3 months, I made £45,000 profit. And I started sort of wondering that that's probably how much I take home after a full year's work. So I need to learn a bit more how to do it properly. I started working for the competitor after about 9 months or so. I thought it's not for me. I can't give my life away for another 16 years to somebody, and they can decide that my face doesn't fit the frame. That's when I started looking at property training. Got myself trained in 2014, and the rest is kind of history. In 2017, I won a property award with Make-A-Wish. Then, predominantly, my portfolio has been in London. And during my training, I did this portfolio purchase, which I'll just talk you through the numbers. So this portfolio came through a sourcing agent, a bit like what Debbie and team do. The asking price was about 3.15 million. We bought it for 2.75. The reason the guy was selling it at a discount, because he wanted to sell it with 55 LHA tenants. He didn't want to lose his cash flow, which offered me the opportunity to make a proposal to him. And we did it with only about 5% deposit and 9 months completion. And then during the course of the project itself, the prices increased by another 13%. This was in London. So the end results were, we kept five out of nine properties with an equity of 1.6 million, sold four, because once I started refinancing, the lender said, when they realized I wasn't leaving any money in, they were giving me a comparison from 100 miles away. So I had to create my own comparison. So I've sold two of the properties to create my own comparison so they couldn't challenge on the rest of it. What they also did that they actually helped me the cash flow. So I made about £250,000 cash flow from it. And those properties still make 96 grand a year cash flow. It wasn't all plain sailing. There was lots of sleepless nights, but if it was easy, then as I said, yes, everybody would be doing it. These are some of the pictures from it. Even from the renter's perspective, when I was talking to the local agents, they said the ceiling price per room in Harrow is £600 maximum. But I said, show me some rooms which look like mine. They couldn't show me anything. Sometimes you have half sort of ripped off mattresses and nothing on. And these were all en suite HMOs. So I brought my agent from East London to advertise the property, and we achieved £750 to £800 per room. So we broke the ceiling for the rental market. And after the first HMO, the licensed officer, she said, you don't need to be here because I can actually see your properties and these are yours. So we created a benchmark and sort of it will quite last long. And even now that these properties still serving us really well because the better quality you present to the people, the better tenant you get and they pay for the leverage. This is when I bought one that I bought in 2017 through Make-A-Wish for the, just the project I just talked about. This was the second project which I've just finished. I bought it about 3.5 years ago. This was an office building rented out as three offices. Upper floor was empty, so we knew that we're going to go for the planning gain. So initially, we rented out the top floor whilst we were going through the planning because the other three tenants were living or they're going to be working for they have another 3 years. So by occupying the first floor, we managed to increase the value of the property. So bought it for 700, and 3 months later, we got it valued at 950. We recycled majority of our money, and then in September 2022, when the tenants vacated, we started doing the conversion. So, in addition to the PD conversion, this building into 14 apartments, we've got two extra floors. And this is what the end product looks like. So, this the higher roof is, has got two extra floors on top, and it's all converted. So, we've done 20 apartments. And with the conversion, we achieved even the EPC rating as B. And I just talked you through the numbers of this project. So initially bought it for 700,000. Initial refinance within 3 months was 950. We pretty much recycled most of our money at that point. Conversion cost was 1.85, and other costs, financing and the legals and everything else for the refinance and everything else. It's been circa £300,000. It just been valued at 3.8 million. I know based on the rental calculation and the yield, it should be about 4.3. But because I recycled all the money, not really that much in terms of numbers. So here we are. So refinance figure is 2.865. So you had the numbers on the previous slide. So bought it for 700, 1.8. Was the conversion about 300? So we got all of our money back plus some extra. Because of obviously the interest risk volatility, we ended up reduction in the cash flow because the rates gone up so high. Even we had the rates scaled with the lender, they just use an excuse saying, oh, it's taken longer than 6 months, so we're going to go for the new rate. But at the end of the day, we managed to recycle our own money. We got first 5 years, we're actually paying capital as well. So after first 5 years, we will have £200,000 reduction in the loan as well. The rental income, until Wayne was touching early on, and Lee was saying as well that that's more than compensating the interest rate. So when I started the project, we were expecting the rent to be about £20,000 a month for 20 apartments. This is in Romford, which is I'm sure probably guys are familiar with London. And since then, the Elizabeth Line has started. Elizabeth Line was 44 minutes into central London, and with the Elizabeth Line now, it takes 22 minutes. So we had a really high sort of demand, and we're achieving £27,000 per month rental, which is 326 grand a year. So cash flow figure looks smaller. But because we actually paying off a lot of debt, and we found recycle our money, and it's sort of infinite return. So we're not usually first on that, but that's it's a crux of it is pretty decent deal, and it took us 13 months to do the whole conversion. In addition to the property, that one of the key motivating factor for myself was that I like working with the charities and doing work with the less advantaged people, because I've come from a non-developed country myself, and it was always close to my heart. But when you don't have the resources yourself, it's always difficult to actually help other people. When is one of my mentors says that if you want to help poor, make sure you're not one of them. It doesn't mean in a bad way, but it means that when you can create resources to help others, then you can make a really difference. So over the last couple of years, we've done about 400 eye surgeries in India.
Wow.
We opened up an eye clinic in Iraq, and also working with some orphanages. There's some pictures with my business partner with some of these people who are benefiting from what we've done. This picture doesn't look that promising, but this is a water well which works on a solar panel. So this costs around about $10,000, but it can serve 3,000 families for about 30 years. So that's how much your money can go a long way when you want to make a lasting difference. And that has been really the driving factor for me, that by creating wealth and creating wealth more than what we need, we can actually help a lot of these people across the globe. So in terms of a property millionaire mindset, so when me and my business partner, we started, and I remember writing my goals, and he was saying to me, "Oh, did you put some extra zeros by mistake?" And I said, "No, I didn't." Because if you don't have the right mindset, you're never going to get to where you want to go. So in terms of mindsets, you have to be thinking big. And whatever it is, you take the emotions out of decision making. If the numbers don't work, you move on. There's always a next deal available. The next thing, and you in the right room at the moment, surround yourself with the people who inspire you, who have already done what you're looking to do. So you don't need to go around reinventing the wheel. Like I said at the start of the presentation, always remain coachable. Even you might think I've made it and everything else, I still feel very humbled by it. And if you get too cocky, you get humbled by something. So always stay grounded. It doesn't matter how good you become within your life. And the best investment you can make is invest in yourself, because there's nobody else out there to looking after your benefit than yourself. And like people like Tony Robbins said, you need to model people who already done what you're looking to do, so you don't need to reinvent the wheel. And the next bit is very relevant for myself, and I'm sure it should be for more people. You talk less, but let your results talk on your behalf. And one last thing, be clear on what you want to out of life, and then take a massive action and go and do it. Because that's the only way you're gonna achieve beyond your own initial needs and so on and so forth. So, like I said, it's been a bit of a journey. And then once I won the award, I was asked to do some mentorships, and I opted to do international clients because I didn't want to sort of run from pillar to post to do mentoring in all over the UK. And the benefit of mentoring international clients, but they will come to London, will spend 3 days with us, and we help them set up the whole business and everything else. But the thing was, all my projects were always in London, so I couldn't really put my hand on heart to say that somebody starting with 40, 50, 60,000 pounds, that the stuff really works. So I actually set myself a challenge to actually go and start doing some of the deals. And in doing so, I actually helped some of my family and friends get to their financial freedom figures. So I chose, I know you mentioned your deals in Yorkshire. So I chose Doncaster as one of the areas I wanted to work with. And again, I started simply by doing some HMO conversion. I've got about six HMOs there now, about 45 rooms. And And they generate really good cash flow. Again, one of my HMOs in 2022, it was finalist for Property Investor Award for, it was during the COVID period. So bought the building, converted two houses into 11-bed all-room suites, recycled all the money, and that property is still cash flow about £2,000 a month. How many of those somebody needs to do to actually become financially free? And it wasn't a huge capital outlay. So after doing the HMOs, I've started doing some commercial to conversion and also mixed-use properties. And there's one of the deal which is very recent. Let me see if I can get a copy of that here. Yeah, so this came from a motivated seller. So he was facing a repossession. So we negotiated and I bought all these three properties for £290,000. So roughly about just around £99,000 each. But then he had a different price tags on different one because I think the banks who were taking the possession away, they had different price tags on. But as long as the portfolio works, so bought him with the 80% bridge finance. There was very little work because there was, but the leases were very poor. Oh, they were non-existent. So they were just using the licenses in place. So we spent very little money, so around about £10,000, just freshen up some of the washrooms and paintwork and everything else. And you probably see the stamp duty is very low as well. Technically, if we had all the properties on equal value, there would be no stamp duty to pay because up to 150, there's no stamp duty on commercial properties. But one of the property was close to about 190, so that was £410 paid. The valuation fee, there was no valuation done because when I presented the deal to the bridge lender, it's a bridger, a private bridger which I worked with before. They were happy without the valuation because they knew the property was worth a lot more than what I bought them for. So this valuation fee is actually for the refinance, which is happening now. And I actually gave the bank a valuation of £450,000 based on the rental income. And I've got the copy of the valuation here as well. The valuations come back at 540,000. So it's even more than what I was expecting. But because of the rental, they said, oh, we're not going to lend you any more money. We're going to cap it that. But in all honesty, if you look at the sell here, we'll be leaving £8,000 in the deal. And it's going to cash flow £1,070 a month. One of the property had a proper lease in place, which got a rent review coming in December, but I managed to put brand new leases for the two other ones, and the lender's quite happy because Lee probably can make a comment that the stronger the covenant is, the better the lenders sort of feel comfortable with giving the value and everything else. And another challenge here is that we had to go to two different lenders. The first lender wasn't happy with the valuation. They said the commercial element is more rather than residential. So they waited more on the residential side of things, saying, oh, the yield doesn't sort of stack up. So they were looking for a 12% yield. And even initial conversation with the broker was that he said, oh, that's how the market is. Everybody's and again, I was trying to do this before 6 months because yes, after 6 months you get more options open to yourself. But if you're trying to do this stuff within 6 months, then there's limited number of lenders you can go to. But we didn't give up. We went to another lender, and I actually sourced the value who actually valued this property for the previous buyer. So obviously there was no conflict of interest because there was a transaction some years ago. So he knew the properties. And when he looked at the properties, and because we upgraded them as well, he actually gave a valuation at 540 based on 9.5% yield, which I think is pretty good for the area. And again, if I was looking to sell it, I could make £110,000 profit within 6 months. But because we're not leaving any money in, and it's going to cash flow just over £1,000 a month. So you have your money back in less than a year. And again, this is just sort of not working harder, because typically to add value to a distressed property, you're spending tens of thousands of pounds, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 pounds just to realize. And then by the time you come on the other side, there's probably not a huge amount of margin left. But this was more to do with the paperwork, how you can fix the leases and everything else, and still create that enhanced valuation at the end of it, because this is commercial asset. So I just want to share the both and the spectrums. Yes, I've shown a couple of bigger deals at the beginning, because that's what stuff I do in London. But this kind of things I'm doing in Donny, to A, help my family and friends to achieve their financial freedom, but also actually saying that this kind of stuff works, and there's a lot of these things available. And I strongly believe there's enough deals to go around to everybody. So as long as we help each other to get on the ladder and have the right environment and support in terms of your brokers, your sources, your legal, the sky's the limit. So again, if anybody wants to see the proof, I actually got a completion certificate from the solicitor, and also the valuation copy as well. I can send it to Debbie and she can share it, redact the lawyers and the details.
Amir, that's fantastic. Do you want to take, shall I ask anybody who's got any questions on this, or do you want to do it to the end and then move backwards?
I'm fine if anybody wants to.
Has anybody got any questions on this? So for me, the yield on commercial and mixed use is different from your normal yield on a buy-to-let. So there's a full calculation. It's to do with the area, isn't it, Amir? So there's a lot of factors going. So obviously part of the northeast, which Colin will tell you, could be a 10 or 11% yield. But obviously these are in London, so I'm not sure what Doncaster is. So the way the numbers are done and the way calculations are done, it's different to your normal properties. And when you say obviously commercial leases, obviously I know Leigh's done loads of these. How did you actually identify this property? What like was it on the market? And then is this something that is one of your strategies? So you know that the first question you ask when you say like a commercial mixed use is, what's the leases on here? And then you know you can add that value, which you think everybody would know, but they actually don't, do they? So me and Colin's doing this in the northeast at the moment. So it's like you know that you can add that value without even doing any work on the property.
Yeah, and I think, to be honest, it came through one of the sourcing agent who actually manages all my properties in Doncaster as well. And again, like you said, if he knew that how much value could be added, because he's a small scale property developer, so he probably would have kept it himself. Because now I actually told him how much they valued now, and he said, "How can they value almost double just 6 months later?" And we only done small amount of work, because it's not the small amount of physical work we did. It's actually fixing the paperwork. It's the big amount of work. So when he presented to me, so I knew it was a no-brainer, because he was saying, "Oh, let's see if we can negotiate to 270." I said, "No, I'm happy to pay him 290. The guy's already struggling as he is, so we don't need to squeeze him anymore. So let help him get the bank off his back." And I knew that there's enough in there to I can actually add value to it by putting new leases. And with that kind of view, I knew that the exit is very strong.
And Amir, like on a strategy like this, say there's people on here that haven't got the money to buy it, right? They can't get an angel. You can actually exchange subject to sort all the leases out, flip it to somebody else, and still help the vendor make some money yourself, and but still help the vendor with the knowledge. So you can do some of these just by exchanging on them and then adding the value, can't you? And then flipping them on at the back end, paying the vendor. And then keeping some yourself.
Yeah, if you look at the first deal I showed in the Herald, that's
That's
exactly
what I was
what we
going to
did.
ask. Yeah. How did you actually do that?
So effectively what we did was we exchanged with 5% deposit,
That's fine. Yeah.
and then we agreed 9 months for the completion of the deal for all the properties. I started getting two at a time vacant and started working them and refinanced. And then once the refinance was hitting, that's when we actually paying the window.
Exactly. It's a really clever way, isn't it? Without even having to buy the property, adding the value and
Yeah,
the.
so if you just do the numbers yourself, so we bought about just shy of £3 million worth of portfolio with £135,000. From our pocket, and even that wasn't ever from pocket. There was a couple of angel investors who helped us with that money.
Yeah, but you need to keep you need to, your experience and like our experience and knowledge to do
Yeah.
with investors on this. Amir, as well, based on that deal, obviously it was an office block. Did you have to get full planning or did you go for permitted development?
No. That was permitted development, and
Permitted
what prop?
development, not even
Yeah.
full planning. It's
No.
a fantastic strategy.
And that's why we managed to create, they called mini studios or mini one bedroom
Yeah.
apartments. But the people are willing to live because you've seen some of the pictures. Obviously, they're squeezed on one slide because they didn't want to show 50 slides of sort of just one picture on each slide. But it just to reflect on that, we put a lot of thought process in making sure that they look homely. And I said two show flats, and my idea was that we actually use the show flat furniture just for a couple of flats. First, the same spec. They want to pay extra to have the same spec because it does. People once they see, they can actually touch and feel the quality of the product. I put in air conditioning throughout,
Yeah.
and. And even my business partner was saying that the new thing isn't necessary, but I think that's why you're sending the getting the premium on these apartments. Because when we started, we expecting to get about 1,000 to £1,100 for a one bed, and about 850 for a studio. But we achieved 1,650 on one bed and 1,250 on a studio flat,
Wow, what
and they were
an uplift, yeah.
and they were gone within 4 weeks, each one
Wow.
of them.
Wow, that is
Yeah.
and what strategy is that? Is that just normal buy to let?
No. What we done because we haven't actually split the title. We kept everything on one title. So there's just one commercial loan on the whole building.
Yeah. And if you split the title, that's another thing where you can add value, can't you? But that's another strategy.
It's something is this for another day. But because again, sometimes you don't need to overcomplicate a deal.
Yeah.
It's good enough, so just stick with one lender. We're still making good return. Like we pretty much recycle all our money. We got about a couple of £100,000 at the back end of it, and it's still giving us about £6,000 a month. But once we know that when 2 couple of years time, 3 years time, when the rate goes down, and also our loan is reduced by about £300,000 as well, we can refinance at that time. So I don't think we need to be ever creative or splitting the title because when we're looking to sell it. That would
Yeah.
be the case if we're selling half and keeping half. So,
Yeah, there's lots of stuff you can do. Any questions on that? I know it's a bit mind blown. I've actually asked Collins popped on at the end and he'll speak a little bit about what we're doing with planning gains because it's a strategy that you can start off with and not have a lot of money. Obviously you're not gonna actually own it, but Colin will have a little chat with you about that. Any other questions? And I'll just go any other questions up here. Obviously, Lee's asking if anybody's got any questions for you for late answer, just give him a shout. What age did you start in property and how long have you been doing it for? Was that 2014?
that's when I started doing it properly. I was doing it as a hobby before. I say as a hobby because even before that, and remember I was talking to somebody, I think it was a couple of weeks ago, that I actually bought a property with a credit card. They laughed in my face. And that wasn't that long ago. That was in 2003. So I was presented with a flat in Leighton Zone, which is in East London, for £155,000.
Mm.
I didn't have any cash, but I had one of these Barclays card, which I could take £12,000, with 2-3% transfer fee, but no interest for 12 months. Then I borrowed about £4,000 from one of my cousins, and that's how I funded the deposit because I bought it with 10% deposit. And later on, the council were doing some compulsory purchases. If not council, it was actually housing association. So they paid me 10% of the market value. And then also they paid for the whole of my transaction for the next property. And I bought another property from that. And I've recently transferred that to my brother, which is worth £650,000
Wow.
just from a credit card debt of 12 grand to a property of £650,000 with £350,000 equity.
Yeah.
So it's not been that long. I
Yeah.
hope I don't look that old.
No, you don't. I think that's why you were surprised, because you look so
Yeah.
young. How old were you when you started? So, maybe we'll go on to the next one then. I'm just seeing. Oh, Victoria's asked, what is the key thing you look for when assessing a property? Potential. So, is that value that you can add to it? But you've got that knowledge, haven't you? So,
Yeah, and I think I think probably the last couple of bits I said in my presentation is that you need to be exactly clear on what you're looking to do. And once you know what you want to achieve from a particular property, then those are the lines you'll be thinking of. Because if you keep the emotions out of and you stay objective to your core target, because there's a lot of shiny penny things around. The people by, if it doesn't work, they will say, "Oh, there's a service accommodation, let me jump on that." And if they hit a couple of parties which say people come and trash the property, they say, "Oh, this is too much, let me do social housing element and this and the other." So the best thing to do is master one strategy, get really good at it, put 60 to 70% focus on that, have a secondary strategy between 20 to 25% of your effort and energy, and you can have 10% to sort of gamble around or play around to test the waters and stuff. But ha have really core strategy focus, and get really good at one thing. And a lot of the skills you learn, even if you do simple buy-to-lets, a lot of skills are transferable from one strategy to the other. So.
that's brilliant. And can I ask you, what do you think of the rent strategy? Because that's really hot at the minute, but I just can't see it.
To be honest, I had never done any.
No.
But this is it's the fortunate bit that I managed to start few years ago. But probably a lot of people make it work, so it's horses for courses. But that's not a strategy, because if you looking to build wealth and leave a legacy for either your children or something beyond your family, you need to create wealth. And the only way you create wealth is actually holding assets in your own name.
Yeah.
Rent and deal sourcing and all these things, that they are sort of getting your foot on the ladder, but you need to quickly move on to actually start buying the assets, whether with joint ventures or with your own money. There's a lot of different ways to rate finance.
Yeah. I think, to be honest, I think the rent, if you're building a portfolio and you're building wealth through property, you're going to have to buy at some point, and that means finding the money, finding the angels. And I think this is a massive block with people, where they go, well, I'll just do rent to rent, get 5 or 6 grand on a credit card if I've got to do the furniture, create yourself, I think, a full-time job, because if you're working, who's going to be doing the management of the property, getting the tenants in, the end users, whatever, whatever. So it's like, for me, you may as well just put your big girl or boy pants on, go and get an angel, and start buying deals now.
Yeah,
So.
there's a guy I know. He's quite sort of popular, so I don't need to mention his name now. I met him in the property event where I was doing a talk, and he said that he left university. He was doing his rent rents and he was doing really well in London. But he said, "I don't own any property, so where shall I start?" So I'll give him an example of, the mention that I converted one bedroom flat into two. So in terms of London, that's a low barrier to entry, because obviously if you're looking for the houses and everything, you need to have north of 400,000 or 500,000 pounds to actually do a deal. So I said, start looking for other short leases, and the flats with needs certain renovation, and start doing 1 to 2 bed conversion. And I recently saw him being advising to another platform that he's built up his portfolio of multi sort of about £2 or £3 million starting with this strategy. So So yes, he was doing very good with the rent and stuff, but he said, "I'm not going anywhere. I'm making 10, 15,000 pounds, but it's not. There's no wealth being built." And now he's actually building his wealth. And again, I think in Northeast or Yorkshire and all these places, there's so many opportunities that you can actually buy houses not for a lot of
Massive.
money.
Yeah,
Yeah.
massive, massive.
Yeah.
One thing is me is a bit confused about on this deal analyzer, how is the ROI of 279 calculated? It's a net cash flow times by 12 divided by the money left in the deal, isn't it, Amir?
Yeah, so this is actually based on 6 months turnaround, not a year.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So did that answer your
Because
question?
I can actually sell the deal and move now, even for more than 450. But given that I'm not sending it on, so what we tend to do is just run the numbers for all the eventualities and see how they stack up.
May, if you want to book a Zoom call in 15, 20 minutes, I can explain how it all works, honey. So just book a Zoom call in, I'll go through the numbers. So, right. So it's a minute to eight. Shall we crack on with you said you had some more Northeast deals. Well, Doncaster way.
Yeah, no, to be honest, I think unless anybody's want to talk about anything more specific, I think I've probably done enough talking. So if anybody's got
But that is so
any more,
inspirational,
so.
and you've helped so many people, and yeah, so it's absolutely fantastic, like what you've done. No wonder you're winning awards. Is everybody happy with all of that? I know it's a bit high end, but this is what you can achieve if you stick in and get mentors, coaches, continuously through my education. I've spent 80 grand on my education. You've got to keep growing and listening to the podcast as well. I love Diary of a CEO, and you've got the magic as well. There's different things that you can listen to just keep you motivated a little bit. Yeah, but
I think
that's
the one person I would recommend, it's not property related, but it's Dr. John DeMartini. I don't know if anybody's heard of him. He's a behavioral specialist. Even his story himself is very inspirational. He couldn't read and write until he was 17 years of age. And the guy who's got multiple PhDs now. And I did the breakthrough experience with him because one of the thing was that one of his books is called Values Factor. So I recommend to people to either get the hard copy. I drive quite a lot, so I actually do the audio books rather than physical
I need
paperback.
you.
Yeah. So get a copy of the Values Factor because in terms of inspiration and everything else, yes, you can have people like Tony Robbins always jumping up and down with energy and everything else. But life in reality is not always like that. You will hit the bumps on the way. Not every deal is going to come to fruition. You won't get the same valuation. A renovation is going to cost a lot more. The banks are going to charge you more interest rates. So there's always hurdles on the way. So what you need to do is that you need to have a balanced approach that you take the good, but you learn from the bad at the same time. And then you can actually really grow. And one of the things which was story revolutionary for me was that the part of the world I come from, having wealth is a bit of a stigma that only corrupt people are wealthy. So it was a bit of guilt that if I've become rich, I'll be one of those people. So he asked me to do an exercise, and he said, "Oh, can you put what's highest on your value?" And I said, "To give charity and help people who are less advantageous." And he said, "How are you going to do it if you don't have the money yourself?" So what is your skill? I said, "I know a bit of the property." And he said, "Link the property development and holding the property to your highest value, and then you get rid of the stigma." And that's what happened to me, because then after that, I've got rid of that. Sometimes you put your own ceilings in your head that I'm worth just this amount or that amount and everything else. So you need to have this eye opener. So I think a lot of what he's written and he's very active on social media as well. So I really suggest people that if you just follow him, you probably learn a thing or two from him.
Yeah, give a little follow. So what I'm going to do, that was fantastic. Absolutely mind blown, actually. And you're so humble. And yeah, I'm so glad that. And it gives people an opportunity to look outside the box and look at that next step up. But we are learning every day. It's all part of the journey. That's why we are here, because we know, that you have got challenges. So the further you move up, the more challenges you're going to get, and you've got your experts here to help. So I was just going to get Colin on, if that's all right, in my book. Shall we give him a big round of applause, because that was absolutely mind blowing. I think you can do a little hand wave on your little reactions, little clap there. Yeah, that was brilliant. So Colin, this is something we're doing, obviously not as big a scale as what you do in London. But it's all doable in the Northeast or Doncaster, whatever, isn't it? What we're doing. Do you want to
Yeah,
just give a
so
couple of
yeah, I mean,
minutes?
Amir, lovely to see you again, by the way, because we had
Yeah,
a really
pleasure.
good chat, didn't we, in London?
Yes,
Have you
we
spoken
did.
about the capital allowances to Arthur yet?
No, yet.
You said you would, so you got to do
Yeah.
it. Get some
No, no. We had
money.
a we had a we had a long chat, and
Oh, good.
I have briefed my accountant, so
Oh, brilliant,
he
brilliant. Well,
gets
that's
most of
great.
it.
I mean, what you've done, Amir, it's lovely to meet you that time because you were talking to me about your projects and actually your projects you were talking about this evening. And we're doing it in a slightly smaller scale, but up in the Northeast. And when I was talking to you about it, weren't I? So we're working with investors that want to come up and work with us, and we're part of their team essentially. And what we do is, like, my background's architecture, if anybody knows me. And I've been working in architecture for 20 years. So I started my investment journey in 2014, the same year. And for me, I was taking my skill set of what I did in the real world as a job into the investment arena. And actually what I found was, designing and adding value through planning or permitted development or all of these other avenues was actually much more profitable than it is doing my run-of-the-mill buy-to-let projects at the beginning. So I found that actually the value of my assets were growing a lot faster if I did the planning game. So me and Deb's working on a couple of projects for a couple of clients at the moment where we're taking commercial properties, we're going for planning gains, so we make offers subject to planning and we work for our investors to do that. And one particular project we've got at the moment is a office building that we're converting into an 8-bed HMO. That's one of a couple that we're looking at, but that one's going through. I've got planning permission for the client. When was that? About 6 weeks ago, the approval come in. And the value of that is going to grow a lot because we've now secured for that investor as well a lease on it at £3,600 a month. So he's bought it for 155. He's going to spend about 130 on it. It'll be worth about 430 at the end, and he'll have a guaranteed income, yeah, for 5 years. So our approach and something that I've learned over the past, what are we now up to 10 years now, being in property is that I always like to look for the deals where we can add value with little money in. How can we flip that on? Do we do it ourselves, or we can actually sell it with planning to another investor? We can uplift the value, and we look to secure the income at the back end. So me and Debs, we're working together, working with investors, and actually what we've started to do is days out in the field, right? So you can come out with us for a day, and we're doing one actually on Sunday, and we're looking at commercial property. We've got a couple to go and look at. We're going to be putting offers onto these properties subject to planning. And we've got a few in the pipeline, haven't we, Debs, where,
Yeah.
there's potential where investors can
Money.
buy this. And
Yeah.
it's all about your appetite. So I started off with buy-to-let, then I went to the smaller HMOs, then I went to larger HMOs. And even though I'd done architecture all my life, as an investor, it's very different. I didn't want to take them jumps up too fast. But actually, when you do take the step with the right people around you, you can do it. Actually, it's not as daunting. It might sound daunting because the numbers might be a bit more or something, but actually, the cash flow and the end value, the guy that we're doing this 8-bed for, he'll probably refinance around 90% of his money back out. So that for him really, really works. And it's understanding what it is from you guys, what works for you. So are you comfortable with going for the larger schemes? Because it's like Amir said, yeah, there's bumps in the road. So we're planning, it's never plain sailing. That's why we go subject to planning, minimal cost in, maximum value out. And for us, I'm always looking at projects that I'm confident we're going to get planning permission on. So Amir looked at that one for PD. We're looking at this one for HMO, and we've got a couple of others where we're looking for HMOs for certain charities that want to take it for 5 years. So if you guys are interested, or anybody who's interested, send Debs a message, because we'll happily take you out there. We'll show you the type of deals we're looking at that you could get involved with. And we also are looking to work with people as well over, you know, the future months, that are looking to possibly have challenges. Maybe they're raising money or something like that. Maybe we can get some coaching to actually show you how, what we do, right? Because for us, it was so important when I had a mentor, right? I went through, it was legacy actually at the time. And, you know, I had a mentor and he helped me unfoundedly. You know, it's unbelievable what he did.
Got some good mentors.
Yeah, and I needed to do it. Oh, Amir was a mentor actually. I'm pointing this way. And, you know, I've never been a mentor, right? But I love teaching people. I will tell you all about planning. If you want to fall asleep and listen to me talking about planning, I will do it, because that's what I do. But you don't need to know planning to do planning. You just need to have the right people in your team to do what it is that you want to do.
Oh, I wouldn't want to do planning.
You've got to want to have the appetite to take on that challenge. But, you know, if you're ever interested in working with us or coming on one of our days, you're more than welcome. Just send us a message.
Yeah, just DM us, because it's really exciting. It is a good strategy to build capital when you're starting off as well. But you still need angels as well. You need to be buying like now. It's never a bad time to buy the right strategy and the right deals. So I think that's been a fantastic night. This is on recording and it will be going on to YouTube, I think. So Ollie sorts all that out. One thing I want to say is, so I work very closely with Ollie and he's amazing, and I've said I'll share him a little bit, do you know what I mean? So him and Louis have got a company called Apex Digital, and they're doing websites and they're absolutely fantastic. So if anybody's looking for a website, DM me or get in touch with Ollie on Apex Digital. And they can help you out with the branding and doing the website, all the things I don't like doing. I know how to get on one, but I don't want to know how to build one.
He's doing mine.
Yeah, he's doing yours, Colin, is he? Excellent. Well, he's took over ours and sorted it all out. So he is very, very good. We're going to share him a little bit, but don't tell everybody, because we're in for ourselves. So I think that's it. So we've got a planning day on Sunday. Thank you very much, Amir. Thank you very much to our Lee, who's in the Seychelles. So he says, thank you very much to Lee, who nobody's asked any questions. I cannot believe we've got a lawyer on here and you haven't asked any questions. But you can DM him if you've been on the Steel Clinic and you want any help. He is definitely, if it's creative, whatever it is, obviously Lee can sort it out. Me and Colin, and I think that's about, isn't it? That's it. Sorry for the techie bit. Sorry we went over 11 minutes, but it's good night from him, and me. Okay, so have a fantastic evening, and carry on viewing and get those offers in. Okie dokie. Speak soon. Bye.
Good night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.